Hello! It is time to... No, it's way beyond time to convene this meeting. Our agenda, of course, is continue and deal with our unfinished business from yesterday. Very good. And one of the committees that did not report yesterday is the Audit Committee. The other one is the Programming Committee.
And the Committee of Inclusion. Committee of Inclusion.
And the Ad Hoc National Committee on Inclusion. So let's... Quiet. Can we begin with the Audit Committee?
Yes, that's me.
Mr. Chair, before we start, I wondered if we could just set a time limit on these reports, because I'm afraid people are going to start leaving, and if I don't know what the prioritization of the agenda is, but I'm afraid as we get further into the meeting, we're going to be losing people and unable to do business.
Yes, Patty.
Could you please go over the agenda, because all I have are alternative agendas and this thing and that. I don't even know what we're working from.
We're working from the agenda that we approved, and we're on under committee reports. We've heard from the Finance Committee, the Governance Committee. We're now going to hear from the Audit Committee, the Programming Committee. Yes?
We need a great one.
Yes, revised agenda, Pacifica National Board, that... we dealt with the other day.
I guess it's this one.
Yes, William.
I mean, technically we have 20 minutes for business, and then we're supposed to go into executive session, and then we have an hour of public comment. So my question is, in 20 minutes, will we be able to get through all the committee reports?
We're not going to be able to do that, William, as you know, because we didn't convene at 9.
We're
convening at 9:40.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, how are we prioritizing it so that... Because it looks like we, even though we have a lot of committee reports to do, we did the rest of our business yesterday.
Mr. Chair?
It appears.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, we're going to have this...
I'd like to propose that we...
We're having too many conversations, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to propose that we listen to the committee report for a maximum of 10 minutes. That includes Q&A.
Each committee,
excuse me, yes.
Thank you.
Is there any problem with that?
But we should, because I already heard from Audit. I don't know why we need to hear from him again.
That's
all right.
Why.
We're going to...
Ambrose, one more thing.
Yes.
It took an hour and a half yesterday. Yeah.
Yes.
Taking our time, Mr. Roberts, Director Roberts.
Bob, quickly.
Is there any problem with people staying till 2? Can we have another hour of business from 1 to 2? Because there's still several items of unfinished business from the weekend. So.
Well, we're gonna.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
We're gonna play that by.
Because we have
how much business we can get through.
Because the executive director has given us a very urgent request to review the question of the document inspection request. So
we want to get through this agenda as quickly as possible is to deal with the executive director situation and the secretary situation. We will now hear from the audit committee.
Mr. Chair, question on the agenda.
Yes.
Will there be an executive director's report today?
I would think so. Yeah.
Didn't we have that?
No, we didn't.
We had a CFO report.
Oh, no. And he would talk to us today.
Donna Warren.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, board members. And thank you to WBAI. I had a great time last night. Okay. Today, Audit Committee,
You had a good time last week. Where did you go after the party, Donna?
Okay, the short of it is that we were unable to convene the audit committee due to a lack of quorum. There are 15 people on the audit committee, and we try to convene it three times. On two times, the auditor, Ross Wisdom, and the controller were on the call. So we decided, even though we couldn't convene it, that we would at least discuss what we could. And we discussed the audit reports that were faxed to us two times, and basically asked some questions that I reiterated at the other day when was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yesterday when Mr. Wisdom was here. So I'm just gonna give you the short version.
She's back.
The short of it, okay. Oh, goodness. It was only two glasses of wine. Okay. Okay. Here we go. We looked at the audit report. First of all, you know, we have to decide what is our vision. That's one of the things we're going to do once we convene. And by the way, we are going to convene the audit committee in April. I won't be there. I'll be in Europe having a good time. But Terry Goodman, who is from the Listener Station Board in Los Angeles, will convene the audit committee, and he'll set the date. But anyhow, when we looked at the audit report, we basically decided that the audit report did reflect the financial condition of Pacifica. You know, there were some questions that we asked, like, for example, can you explain a little bit more in detail what these expenses are, how they change? At least give us a note, because, again, we're not auditors sitting on the board, and, you know, sometimes we have to ask a few more questions. And Mr. Wisdom was very, very cooperative in that. We also talked about the excess of the cash in the bank. It's not really an excess, but it's in excess of the FDIC's $100,000, and we were wondering how we could get a better yield from the $1.5 million that is over the $100,000. We talked about the legal settlements. In fiscal year 04, the legal bills paid were $221,058. You know, and although legal expenses were reduced considerably, you know, the question is, why are we still paying legal expense? And in response to that, the controller did send us a very detailed schedule of everyone who has been paid and people who are still left to pay, and I'll be happy to give that to the Finance Committee before I leave today. We also asked for a copy of the accounting manual, the policy, and the policies and procedures. You know, and we're committed to working with the Finance Committee. First, in not only working with the auditor to get through the audit process, but also to identify the items that we're going to have to ask the auditor to review. We did have, I can't have a recommendation, but this is a thought that. And we found out yesterday that we paid Mr. Wisdom about $90,000 for his work. You know, that's probably pretty reasonable considering that he's doing a lot of tasks for us. But it's my thought that we could have an in-house internal auditor to relieve him of some of that work that he did and just let him do the audit, because he's the outside auditor, and we can have this same internal auditor who will look at things like people came up. I think it was Jim Brown who came up and talked a little bit about fraud. And, you know, if there are indications that there may be fraud, doesn't mean that there is, but if there's an indication, the internal auditor could look at that and maybe travel from station to station. So those are just some thoughts that we had in the audit committee. And, oh, by the way, and Jim Brown did come onto the audit committee, and he's here today, so at least I have my partner over there. Okay, and that's the report from the audit committee, and I'll write it up and send it to our new secretary.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Programming committee, Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I distributed yesterday copies of a report which includes the minutes for our first meeting held March 8th and the second meeting that we had on the 28th and a brief cover letter. I have a couple of additional copies, but very few. Okay, you could just pass that down. Basically, we've been organizing ourselves and trying to follow through on some resolutions and business from the past year. We, as I indicated, the committee met. We have 16 members. At our last meeting, all 16 members were on the call. All 16 members were on the call. All stations are represented. We have a very, very active group, and I'm very happy about that. Again, the minutes from the approved minutes from our March 8th meeting are in the packets that I distributed yesterday, and the agenda for the meeting that we had just this past week on Monday. We don't have the minutes yet. We have not yet formally tabulated the election results, but we only had two candidates nominated. Serene Roberts was nominated as secretary, and I was nominated as chair. We've established that we're going to meet monthly on the third Monday, assuming that that doesn't conflict with the PNB calls, and we'll be meeting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Texas Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. We are also going to try to make sure that we have copies of in addition to the resolutions regarding programming that were passed last year, the prior meeting minutes. We have one subcommittee, which is a working committee of the committee, which is working to define the goals for the committee in a mission statement. We have another group that's working on some of the parameters for some of the issues like national programming and local programming. We did pass a motion regarding the implementation of the race and nationality proposal, which was forwarded to us in January. And basically what we will forward a copy of that motion to you by email and make sure that you have it at the, before the next meeting. Basically what we're asking KPFK, which is the implementing station.
Rob, really fast, do you mean the Spanish language?
The international Spanish language resolution that was part of the race and nationality proposals. The implementing station for that is KPFK. What our committee will be doing is writing to KPFK and saying, please carry on with planning the international Spanish language newscast, but do solicit proposals and input from all of the other Pacifica stations, and we'll stay in touch as that unfolds. We were not able to deal with the resolution that David Adelson brought last year regarding the increase in 5% of the overall time at each station to be allocated to new voices. In other words, we would like to see that there is a formal process by which all stations get new voices on the air in some meaningful way, so that if they've got an apprenticeship program, they don't, for example, train the people who then have no access to getting on the air and working on their chops. We were not able to deal with that and a couple of other proposals, but we will by the end of this month. I would just like to emphasize that I think we all are very clear that it is not our job to produce programming. But I think what we do want to try to do is understand what the members of the board can do to work on the structures and the conditions under which programming takes place. For example, we do want to look at staffing patterns at the stations to make sure that all of our stations have the requisite professionals to do programming. We want to make sure that the budget structures don't just have an area that's called programming. We want to make sure that they have money allocated to things like training for producers and the programmers. And we will also want to, we met during this meeting, but we'll want to meet more with the affiliates so we're sure that we understand as a network from the affiliates what are the things that they want from Pacifica, and try to be clear that we're presenting to them in ways that they can use them, and doing it in such a way that they understand what we have for them. So, and I think Steve and Marty have agreed to help us stumble through that process. So that's pretty much it. If any of the members of the committee that are here want to chime in, please feel free.
I've seen Marty, Dave, and Mark.
Rob, the board has charged the programming committee to come up with a national programming policy. And are you talking about this in preparation for creating that policy, or?
We're currently looking at that issue. There was a resolution that passed in December of 2003 that provides for some structure and policies for national programming. But the members of the committee said that they wanted to look at that more carefully before they made a decision. So we have not voted yet on the proposal about hiring a national programming coordinator. However, we do have a job description that Dan Coughlin has sent us for such a position.
Can I chime in on that? The proposal that was passed pre-elected board was given to the working group, which is Ngozi, William, and myself, to look at that and see if there's anything from that that we would like to bring back to this board and see if that could, pieces of that plus what we have gathered that this group ultimately would want as a programming policy to bring back to this group and then forward.
Dave?
That addresses my question. I'll pass.
Okay. Mark?
I wanted to quickly add to that, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Just also, this board asked that committee, I mean, I was the chair of the committee last time around, to do a Herculean task in a very short time. So it's going to take us a little bit of time to get up to speed, get people up to speed on even what they like to see in their local station areas for programming before we can come back with that. And it's probably going to be, hopefully we'll have it by the next teleconference call, but it's going to be a couple more meetings before we have that policy.
Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rob. I had two questions. One, I want to make clear, Rob, when the programming committee is making these, they will come back to the PMB with recommendations. They understand it. I mean, then they will come to the PMB and they'll say, mm-hmm. we've met and just, so that's what you mean by looking at these things, right?
Yes, we're responsible for putting shape on some of these decisions,
okay.
on behalf of the committee and then bringing them to the PNB for,
okay.
for final determination.
All right, and then the second thing was I was just curious because you said there's 16. I know it's usually three per station. Do you have an affiliate on director on there? Or?
It's 15.
It is 15?
Is it 15? I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I should let all the board members know the pictures are being taken for PNB website. Yes.
Oh, good.
Brush your hair. Dave.
Just quickly, when the motion was passed in...
that would help.
Go ahead, Dave.
When we passed the motion in October, well, I think it was the 3rd that we actually passed it formally, it said that we wouldn't initiate a hiring process for such for a person in that position until the National Programming Committee had proposed to this board a national program policy and a job description. And Mark amended it to say that that was to happen at this meeting. So if I just want to clarify that I understand correctly that will remain in force until we do this. And in other words, that process isn't going to start until the board has approved the job description and the policy that goes with it.
Yes, David. We one of the things that our committee did is we gave every member of the committee all the documentation we could find anywhere about any programming work that had been done by this board over the last 2 or 3 years. And I think the difficulty is, for most of the members, they have not had time to synthesize that.
I have no objection.
So we, yes, that's what's in play. That's what's in play.
Thank you for the programming committee. I have on the list the Archives Committee, the RFPI, FFSRN, the Election Review. Is either of those prepared to make a... Yes, LaVarne. Lexington Review ready? Let's you. In a minute.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I wanted to ask, because I didn't see it on the agenda, about the personnel committee, and I'm it's pretty never mind, I can't speak today. Anyhow, it's contentious. Okay, it's pretty contentious, and I'm wondering if we could move it to executive session. The report. From
I have
the,
no problem with that at
the
all.
The personnel committee.
Yeah, okay. Dave.
You had said that even though technology committee hadn't met, we did have a recommendation for last year as regards HD radio, and I'd like to quickly review a couple of points and make a motion about that.
But you haven't met. I mean, Mr. Chair, the only problem I have is that committees that have not convened. Convene first and then come. I mean,
well,
don't take the time for
the
a
issue.
Committee report when it's just you. I mean, if you haven't convened, you haven't
Excuse
convened.
Me. The committee has convened last year. It had a recommendation to support the concerns about HD radio, and now I'm hearing we're going ahead with it. The point of the motion is just to ask that they deal with that before we move ahead, because those concerns are pending. We had met. We opposed it. And now I'm hearing that it's going ahead.
The
technology
board.
Committee dealt with the issue last year and voted to support a recommendation against moving ahead with it. Now we're moving ahead with it, and the motion is simply that the committee and the finance committee and the technology committee deal with it before a final decision is made. That's all the motion is.
Okay. LeVarn, are you ready?
Yes, I am. I have some reports to hand out, but I will
Microphone.
Just brush a little crumbs off there.
Please don't get that broom in the picture.
I want to see the broom. I haven't seen the broom. Where's the broom?
It's right there.
Good. Well, let's take care of business first. The National Election Review Committee met, and the attendees were Richard Phelps, Rob Robinson, Patty Helfley, Serene Roberts, Mary Berg, Wendy Schrell, Carolyn Burton, Bill Gallegos, Kay King, Gloria Turner, and I was the convener. And briefly, what we did was we went, each station reported in terms of issues or concerns or reports on the election. And our meeting was called, and we were having, I think with everyone, we were having some concerns in terms of trying to get together because we really didn't know who the committee members were. So just sent out a couple of emails, so finally we were able to get together. And I'll give you the report, but I'll just report on in terms of what happened very briefly. A report in, Mary Berg from KPFA, she just noticed that it was the fourth election for KPFA and that there were some issues about scheduling candidate carts. There was an issue with first-class postage, which was not used, and that staff candidate information was included in the listener brochures. She believed the election committee was a very good committee and that it's a stand-in committee, so it wasn't. She noticed that it wasn't an LSB committee, and her concern is that there were no checks and balances. Richard Phelps reported in for KPFA. And just a couple comments, he said that, you know, basically if you believe in the democratic process, you must be inclusive, that the election supervisor was initially not going to include candidate statements with ballots, the card production should be done by neutral parties, there was uneven play of cards with no accountability, and that two of the candidate packages were not completed by due date, but yet they were allowed to remain as candidates on the on the ballot. And in KPFA, the local supervisor resigned and then was returned to his position. And that there was conflict within the station. He believes there was no discipline for staff violations of election rules. Rob Robinson from PFW reported in. And he said that was PFW had a really good local election supervisor. There's a 16,000 listener member list, and the list was clean. And there were some improvements or comments that he made. And one was that town hall meetings with listeners' participation should be held during the elections. And he has questions about the use of STV for committee choices. And Serene Roberts from BAI, she delivered her comments under formal protest because she believed that we should not have had the meeting at that time. And, in fact, there was a motion to, like, adjourn the meeting at 5. And we really didn't begin doing our reports until 4:45.
But she said basically the election was went well, and that the issue was just that people were unhappy with the results. And and Wendy reported in for KPFT, and she said the lists were clean, and that KPFT has about 9 to 10,000 members. And but there was some confusion as to whether the candidate was staff or listener because of the fact that the staff statements were included with the ballots. And she believes the election supervisor was fair. There was two listener forums and one staff forum that was run by the elections committee. There was a problem with many late ballots, and also there was low voter turnout. KPFK did not have representation, but if anyone would like to comment today, I would welcome the comment as soon as I finish. I would really welcome you to say something about KPFA elections. Carolyn Burton reported in for WBAI, and the issues concerning how the process was done, she agreed with all of the previous statements in terms of, but then there were some added things in terms of demonstrated favoritism on the air. There was unfair allocation of airtime. And that with BAI, there were two supervisors. One quit, and one was like lives in Connecticut, so there were some, I guess, concerns about being available. There was general unhappiness with how the election was conducted. And Carolyn also has a report I've attached here where she goes into a number of details. She looks at in terms of process, in terms of what some of the things we need to do and how we need to proceed. It was very well written. We'd like to thank her for that. There was no election committee forum for BAI, and that definitely is needed is professional input and oversight. There needs to be an audit of the listener database and of MIMSIS. And that changes, I think, that were proposed were not implemented from prior year. And there definitely needs to be relationships and standards for the behavior of all candidates. And Richard Phelps, he did an initial report, but then after, so that Serene Roberts and the other people who left at 5 could hear some of KPFA's issues, but then he proceeded after then. And basically some of the issues were that candidates were serving on the elections committee. There was no discipline for staff. He believes there's no discipline for staff violations, and that in one case the staff person was subsequently promoted. The elections, and he believes there was basic election suppression, and that the National Election Supervisor made the decision to include candidate statements with the ballot, and the supervisor subsequently changed his position, and that the candidate statements were included with the ballot, and that the staff statements, the whole point is, were sent out nationwide with listener candidate ballots, and the staff candidate statement, he believes, demeaned the process and was a waste of time and money, and that on-air staff were signatories to listener slates. There was selective enforcement of on-air violations. There was third-class mailing of ballots, Berkeley ballots, on the West Coast were mailed last, we believe. There was delayed mailing allowed to allowed an advantage to a particular slate, and that in one case, the cards for one slate were allowed to be redone, whereas the other slate had to request similar treatment instead of it being offered freely. And I had a couple of comments, and mine was that there was on-air favoritism with cards and staff comments, and that in the other case, there were many staff that did not get a ballot. And Patty Heffley reported in for BAI. I'll be through most 3 minutes. The morning show host was not reprimanded for violating fair elections rules. The programmer who mentioned slate was suspended from air for duration of elections. Staff organized listener candidates. Listeners were disenfranchised. Staff lists were not verified. And there was a motion that Heffley had sent to the PNB, and we'll have to attach that and also attach to this, and I'll send it to you. And we looked at, you know, the goals for the election committee, and what we wanted to we kind of discussed, we want an audit of all costs and expenses so we can really determine what is the real cost of the election. We want to do a timeline for the national and local election supervisors in the election process. There is a request to review the unpaid staff elections at BAI and KPFA, or staff elections. We want a review process of the decision to include the staff statements in the candidate statements, and we want to review the process which resulted in ballots being mailed first class. And the next meeting we have is scheduled for Thursday, April the 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And we are adjourned, and we will, in the next meeting also, we'll look at candidates for office for the committee. Thank you.
William? Bob?
My question is, it sounds like there are a lot of statements of, you know, wrongdoing on different sides of the issue. And it sounds like what happened at the committee is that folks met and brought forth their grievances, but didn't consult or ask for input or even investigate any of the issues that have been brought forth. So we're saying that there was staff favoritism in the KPFA election. That's a pretty big claim. And if that's, if there's grounds to it, then it should be investigated, because I don't think it's fair that a committee can just come forward and make a claim like that without having documentation that it's been independently audited or investigated. So I'm just curious about the process that the committee can come to conclusions around claims and allegations before any documentation is done. And that can just be, I have problems with this being a report from a committee, because it's basically saying, well, the committee has decided that there was alleged wrongdoing on behalf of staff at KPFA, and that there were problems with the staff election at KPFA, but no one's been able to talk about it except the people who are appointed to this committee. This is the first I've heard of it, at least at the national level, and it's something that hasn't even been completely confirmed at the local station board level. There's no agreement around it.
Thank you, William. And that's why we have a committee to look into those things, to put to rest any of those issues. And that's exactly what we'd like to do. And we welcome you to, if you have time, to join us in terms of the investigation.
But I'm saying that I definitely am not an unbiased party, evidently, according to members of this committee. So what I'm saying is, I'd like an investigation by an independent auditor. I don't like claims being brought forth, and I shouldn't have to, I mean, this isn't like the Salem witch trials. I'm not going to stand up and say that, you know, I'm innocent, and because I think so. I want someone to investigate it, and I want a ruling to be done.
You know, thank you. That reminds me, because I think that we had in the PNB, we had said that we wanted a report by June, and we definitely need more time extended so that we can do exactly what you'd like us to do. Well, perhaps have an independent person, if we can get someone to come in to help with the investigation and the audit. Thank you.
Well, I have problems with those comments being accepted by this board. I have problems that people on this board are okay with those comments being made about different individuals without any verification. And I'm trying to figure out, do I move that we don't accept this report? Or, 'cause I don't appreciate, you know, that type of stuff being, I don't appreciate accusations flying about individuals that are part of the foundation coming from a one-sided point of view. It's not fair.
Thank you, William. Can we move on?
No, I want a response from someone.
Yeah, just hold on a second. Bob, Rob, and Mark.
First of all, I very much agree with William's remarks. I think that was not, that several parts of LaVarne's report were not appropriate for a committee report. There's been no vetting process. There's been no, to my knowledge, there was no collective vote whether to accept all those allegations as being something that should be reported back to the board. Perhaps I can be corrected if I'm wrong on that. So maybe we do need to take a vote to reject that as a report and to advise any committee in the future not to forward us unsubstantiated allegations of any sort until there's been some sort of process. But my original point was just to explain the reference that LaVarne made to a protest by Serene Roberts. It was very specific, and there were other members who shared the sentiment, which is that the scheduling of the meeting was 1 hour before another PNB committee, the programming committee, was scheduled to meet, which three of the members of the election review committee also served on. Therefore, they were unable to attend any but any part of the meeting except the first hour, and very important business was transacted later. So I, without wasting time on any motions, I would just ask, since we're all here in the room, for an informal commitment that in the future no committee meetings will be scheduled to conflict with any other committee meetings. It just seems common sense and courtesy for those members of this board or of the LSBs who may be on more than one committee.
And, you know, and we would like to do that, but if we would have a schedule to show when meetings are actually scheduled and, you know, who are on the committee, and we didn't have that at that time. In fact, we still don't have that. Then we could absolutely schedule a meeting. So what you do is you send out an email. You ask who can attend. The majority of the people can attend. That's the way we were able to schedule meetings.
The programming meeting was noticed 10 days in advance, and your meeting was noticed 3 days.
No, that's not correct.
Rob?
That is not correct. It was whatever the time limit.
Rob?
Well, I was just going to say that most of our elections coordinators, local elections coordinators, I believe put together some fairly detailed reports. I provided the committee with the report that Angela Loria from WPFW did. Problem for the committee is it was like 45 pages long. But I would also, in reflecting William's remarks, I would hope that in future the committee will try to deal with objective information like that we can work with, as opposed to just listening to all of the countercharges and charges that may exist from any single election, because we'll go insane, and the foundation doesn't have enough money to investigate all of that.
Mark?
I also have that concern. I mean, listening to the report, and many of the names are familiar with to me, and they, you know, seem to be very strong-willed individuals that have a particular point of view about a lot of things. And to all gather at one committee and just throw out, well, I didn't like this and I didn't like that and I heard this, and, you know, it becomes a committee of five. I don't think that's what we want from the Election Review Committee, is to take a global view and not a sort of parochial, individual interest, but to take a global view and to help us to navigate better next time. And so I think it's careful that this committee not become not just a gripe session, but rather that it actually look at the reports from the supervisors, and then also look at the concerns, but do it from the perspective of the foundation and not the perspective of that particular individual. So I do share William's concerns about that report.
Wendy?
As far as not scheduling any committee meetings at the same time as any other ones, I was about to say I don't want to say I told you so, but I do want to say I told you so, because this is the reason why I was so upset from the beginning, that 2 months went by and nobody scheduled any committee meetings, and this is exactly what was going to happen. And we have so many committees. Everybody's trying, you know, but we can't wait till the last minute to have committee meetings. And as far as, you know, only complainers being on this committee, well, people that were upset about the election asked to be elected to this committee, and so the idea is to make it better for next time. And this is really just, that's what this meeting was each member tell us what you thought, and that's what LaVarne reported. And so it's just what they said. It's not, you know, anything else.
Point of information?
Yes.
Whose responsibility is it to create a calendar for our committee meetings and our business?
I think Otis would like to say something about that. He's like coming up here.
Hey, I got Lonnie to attend a governance
secretary
report. I had Lonnie in a governance committee once because we had dual committees going on, so we just used the other call number.
Which promptly confused everybody for the one night I heard committee meetings.
Can't hear you.
The mic.
Is he? It's his fault. He does this to me. No, and I actually wrote a calendar that would be on a website. What's happened is that Pete is integrating another calendar into Mambo, and we're not sure exactly what we're going to do, but it's a calendar that's very specific to this purpose. So it actually, one of them actually exists now, and I'm coordinating with Pete this weekend, so we will have a calendar up. And this is a calendar that everybody has access to, so you can look and see what meetings are scheduled.
And add your own.
Excellent.
Hmm? It's right now. Well, there's, if you want to, the one I have is a KPFTX/PA calendar. But we're going to put it on the Pacifica Foundation website, on the website that's being used for this purpose. So there will be a calendar there within the next week. That's my guess, one way or another.
PacificaFoundation.org.
Okay. Marty?
Well, I too share concerns around this report, not because, because of the reasons William mentioned, and I think it should go into the record as a series of allegations for legal reasons. I don't think it should be out there as something that's necessarily been confirmed. I do appreciate the look forward that the committee did and the timeline and the planning issues going into next year's election. But I understand what Wendy said, that everyone weighed in with problems they saw. But I think it can't be an official record of the elections.
Dave?
Yeah, there's no way, if there are allegations and concerns, as there were in many signal areas, the question is, how are you going to handle it? The idea was this committee would accumulate those and figure out a way to deal with it. We can stipulate that we are not agreeing to or condoning or anything other than having done what we should do. It's our due diligence to accept and hear any complaints, and that's the appropriate committee to which they should be brought. I recommend that we stipulate that none of these have undergone an investigation, and this is simply a roster of the issues that were brought before the body, whose job it is to determine how to deal with them.
Maria, and then William.
And I'd like to so move.
Yeah, I would second that.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, first of all, in defense of LaVarne, she never said that these were verified. She actually said that these were just reported. So it was almost like she was giving us the minutes of the meeting. And while I completely understand, you know, people's concerns, I just didn't hear her say these were facts. I heard her say such and such said this, such and such alleged this, such and such alleged this, just so that... Well, even if they said this or reported this or...
Out of order.
Okay. Well, that's what I had heard, William. So I just wanted to say that while I completely understand everybody's concerns, I also didn't hear it as if she was presenting it as that was fact. I heard that she said that these were the things that they were looking into, and so I just wanted to warn us to not jump all over each other into... give each other a little bit more faith and trust and that kind of thing.
There are two other members who haven't spoken yet. Ngozi?
Yes. To facilitate the development and the maintenance of a master calendar, I suggest that we select an ongoing meeting date. Like some committees meet the third Monday and et cetera. I would suggest that we do that so that master calendar can be maintained and we don't spend a lot of time just setting meeting dates.
Michael?
Yeah, very briefly. I think it's very. Dave had just alluded to, and we're going to investigate these allegations or something to that effect. I think it's very, very dangerous, and I totally agree with William to use allegations as a basis for further investigations which have not themselves been validated or corroborated to any extent at all. And I think it's a problem. That is synonymous to another issue that I'm going to raise later on concerning what has taken place in the LSB and WBAI. But it's a real problem because it becomes a spitting contest, for lack of a better word. But a spitting contest that has no real meaning or significance whatsoever, and creates a unfertile climate for engaging in a further cat fight and pit bull fight that stymies the progress of this great organization.
Then, as I understand it, the board wants to simply accept this report rather than approve. What is the board?
I think there's a motion on the floor, Mr. Chair.
What is the motion?
The motion as made by
David. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the motion.
The motion, which received a second from Fadi, was that we stipulate that we recognize that these are simply a roster of allegations that have been brought before the committee. They have not been confirmed or investigated.
What's your pleasure?
Let's close the debate.
Questions been called for. Shall we end the debate? All those in favor of ending debate, raise your right hand. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. I count 14. All those opposed? 2. Now the motion. All those in favor?
Restated,
Dave.
That we stipulate that the report that was provided to the PMB is a roster of allegations which we're not confirming, nor have they yet been investigated.
All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14. 14. All those opposed? 5.
Busy typing the motion.
So approved. All right. Are there?
Are you ending the stuff that you have? Because I was the next person on it after the two people. That came to speak.
Well, that's gone. Motions taken care of.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
My hand's still.
Are there other committees that I haven't talked about that
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Really briefly about election, the archives.
Point of order.
Yes.
Okay. Is the archives committee prepared to report?
I just want to mention that we have been meeting. The chair of the archives committee, task force, is not here. Her name is Sapita Kosworja. However, I would like to mention just for the PNB, they are interested in being a committee and not a task force.
Uh-huh.
They have formed a subgroup of three people to assist, and they've sent an email out to Dan about that, that they want to participate in the process of finding new facilities for the archives, which we hear, the roofs leaking, all that kind of stuff. So, and then, of course, they're participating in the tour.
Okay, thank you. William, you asked for the floor.
Well, I asked for the floor because I really don't think that motion handles the situation. I think that there needs to be a motion that an independent investigation be held. And
are you making that motion?
Yeah.
Is there a second? Move and second that an independent investigation be undertaken.
Question.
Dave and Rob.
I'm concerned a motion like that it essentially requires an investigation for every allegation. By what we did, saying they haven't been investigated, it leaves the option open. If the committee looks into it further and decides their substance, they can bring us a recommendation to investigate. But I don't want to charge anybody with having to go through a formal investigation process for anything that's simply an allegation.
Rob?
I'm not sure, and I don't want to take the mission, but I don't know the extent to which the mission of this committee is to investigate charges or allegations or complaints about the election process. I think we're supposed to recommend improvements in the election process, and I think if we're going to take the foundation down the road of investigating charges and countercharges, we need to be very, very careful because it's going to be expensive and it will overwhelm the reform effort of this committee. So let's be very careful about what we do in that regard.
Did I see LeVarne? Question's been called.
Who was the seconding party?
Sarve. Question's been called. Shall we end debate? All those in favor say it. Raise your hand. To end debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15. Those opposed? 2. Now the motion itself. Those in favor, restate the motion, William.
Oh, joy.
It's not his motion anymore, and that way we know we got it right.
Well, that's a big question. Motion by Walker, seconded by Saar, that there should be an independent investigation into the election process.
Well, I didn't get there because I was told to stop talking before I finished my motion, but it's already been discussed and declined, so whatever.
Is that, does it
mean wasn't, it was for the foundation to initiate an investigation process. I don't think that the committee...
Why even fucking talk? Because you're all going to do it.
Pardon the language.
All those in favor of the motion.
Can we hear the motion?
We need the motion for the record.
I'd like a clarification on the motion.
Yeah, William, could you tell us what the motion is?
The motion is to initiate an investigation process by the foundation of the local station board election process.
These allegations at all. You just want an independent investigation into
right, but if I could finish my sentence before people seconded it and started discussing it, then we would have been able to get there.
Point of information. William, what you are focusing in on is the necessity of investigating different areas of improprietous conduct or that might raise a concern without getting into specific individuals or instances that occur in different LSPs, right?
Right. It needs to be fully investigated. And the reason I'm putting forth the motion, if I could speak to it, since I put forth the motion before, you know, you all can defeat the motion, it would have been nice if I could speak to the motion. The reason
point,
I'm...
Point of order. But we voted to end debate.
Passed.
Mr. Well, Chair.
Yes, you did.
It really makes a lot of sense to end debate on something
they did,
that you don't even have any.
What they requested was clarity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Clarity as to what the motion said. You want to finish that, William?
So I'd like to, if I could. But the point of having an investigation being done by the foundation is so that it doesn't fall on, I mean, all of the parties that are involved in the elections and elections review committee are folks who ran in these elections. So, I mean, none of us are unbiased. We are all a part of the elections process. So it needs to be investigated, and the foundation needs to find an independent party to look at all of the you know, practices that we use in the election to come to some conclusion around it. Because a lot of the same things that came up this year came up in the first year of the elections process. So that's why an independent investigation needs to be done. It needs to be done by folks who are outside of the foundation so that due diligence really can be done.
With that, yes?
So I'm unclear that each station has an election official, and those people all wrote reports. And did they note any of these allegations? Yes. They did. So why do we have to reinvestigate it, is my question. I'm sorry, what? Okay.
All those in favor of this motion, raise your right hand. Raise your hand.
I don't know what the motion is. I'm sorry.
The motion is for the PNB to initiate an independent investigation process into the LSB election process.
Clarity? All in favor of the motion, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 to 4. Shall we move on? Yes, Mark.
I had a question regarding the archives report.
Yeah,
because you did the archives report, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that we had talked about with the archives, and as you, as you know, the premium costs are rising throughout the network, and one concern is that we have this resource, and how can we tap into it more so that they are locally, I mean, you know, archives-generated premiums that the stations can utilize during their fundraising drives. Have you discussed that at all? Or can you please discuss that?
I would like also Levon to chime in if she has anything to add. I do not recall that we... Oh, sorry. Here we are. I don't recall that we actually did discuss that. We discussed the facilities. I think that was one of the biggest things. The fact that this is not a committee but a subcommittee, and excuse me, not a subcommittee either, but a task force, they're quite pissed off at the PNB for that. And they would like it to be a committee. But they will continue working even if it is a task force.
Well,
and
would it
very
be possible for the task force to take that issue up?
They will, yeah. And at our next meeting, we should be able to do that. I will relay to Sapita, the chair, and she could agendize that item. The one thing that we have been involved with is with Brian DeShazer with regards to his tour and the Berkeley stop and so on and so forth and the various stops.
Yes, Zareen.
Okay. I would like to say that from WPFW that I am supposed to be on this task force. I've only been alerted to one meeting. There was a change that was made after our PMB meeting out of Los Angeles where I was asked to be on governance, which I did not want to be, and Rob accepted the appointment or whatever to be on governance, and that I am back to be on archives, which is what I asked early on. So I did mention it at one of our PMB teleconferences that I was on archives and not governance, and I still had not been alerted except for one time when Teresa called me about a meeting, and unfortunately I couldn't call her back because I had laryngitis and couldn't talk.
I'll make that noted. And, of course, Teresa. Well, she was here.
Okay. LaVar and Bob.
Mr. Chair, I think that we were told that Serena would be on the task force, and I think that was that's why the task force says that, you know, now we should definitely be a committee because I think we would have representation from every signal area now that Serena is, you know, which is the committee she wanted to be on. So, again, that's why we wanted, they would like to be represented as a committee.
Thank Bob.
Just a quick point on agenda. I'm just very concerned at how late things are getting, and I'm wondering if we can move as quickly as possible to wrap this up and move on.
It is wrapped up. Dave?
The issue of referring the HD issue to the technology committee, I had requested when the agenda was formed that that be in the section on committees. I'd like to bring that motion, if I may.
Okay, quickly.
Okay. The technology committee last year essentially approved a report that noted the following concerns, that with HD radio, the audio is compressed and the result is less than CD quality. A 7-second analog delay is required to synchronize digital audio to the analog. Real-time on-air monitoring is therefore impossible. HD radio signal does not travel as far as analog signal. It has dropout effects that are more severe. The audio quality issue may affect those stations that rely on connoisseurship music and things like that. There have been some improvements. The chair of last year's technology committee and other members have been in discussion with Don Mussel. The stations have applied for the CPB money. That deadline is coming right up on it. It is not a commitment to go forward. There will be a significant cost associated with it, and there are a lot of technological issues. Some of this stuff, the receivers are going to be expensive, and you know, people in their cell phones are going to have ways of getting digital audio, and there are going to be other venues. So the motion is just that the issue of this go before the technology committee and the finance committee, that those committees make a recommendation to the board, and of course meeting with the operations director, with the ED and all other, the managers, et cetera, everyone relevant to the decision, but that those committees make a recommendation to the board and the board be required to approve it before implementation of the technology at the stations, because there are a lot of concerns. I can list more. I've emailed some people lists, but I don't want to take our time at the moment.
Thank you for the report. I've been informed by Mike that he and...
That's a motion, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
It's a motion that those committees consider the question and be required to approve it before implementation.
What's your pleasure?
Okay.
Dan? Well,
I think this is a really an issue of, well, first of all, if HD Radio goes ahead, this will obviously go through the existing board processes and be approved by the full board. But granting the authority to a board committee to authorize, that is yet to convene, to authorize technical engineering and operational issues is taking away, we have to be clear about what happens here. Well, didn't you say that that before HD Radio has to go ahead, it has to be approved by these committees before implementation?
The committees make a recommendation to the board, which has to approve it before implementation.
The board is the approving body.
Well, okay, so you want to restate the motion so it's really clear?
That the committees consider the question, the finance and the technology committee consider the question in collaboration with operations directors and management, and make a recommendation to the board, which must adopt before it goes ahead. The PMB must authorize it before it goes ahead.
Yeah, I have no problem with the committee making a recommendation, but I would say, though, that the board and the operations staff should not be tied should the committee not make a recommendation. In other words, the board's actions should not necessarily... Are you requiring that... No?
If the committee... I would be happy to stipulate that if the committees don't do their work, it can be brought to the board by management. The board should approve this issue before it goes forward. It's complex. There are a lot of issues in it. There are different interests at work in whether it looks appealing or not. And so the board has to finally do it. But if the committees don't do their work, I'm not proposing that that be a you know, that they can kill it in committee, if that's what you're concerned about.
Okay, then I would just say, Dave, we're going to bring it before the board, before the finance committee, if indeed the managers and the operations staff want to move forward with the HD radio project. It would be extremely expensive, or, well, I don't know about extremely, but we talked around the range of about $350K in the aggregate, and that would have to go before the, obviously, the finance committee as part of the budgeting process and then kicked up to the full board. So that would happen anyways.
But the tech committee should brief the board on the technical issues associated with the technology. That's the other half of the motion. Not just the finance committee recommending the dollars, but the tech committee talking about the technology.